This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Greetings and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. I'm Chris Ullman, head of Carlisle's Global Communications. Today we are joined by Mary Petrovich, a Carlisle operating executive focused on U.S. buyout opportunities in the automotive and transportation sector, and executive chairman of AxleTech, a Carlisle portfolio company. Welcome, Mary.
Hello, Chris. Great to be here with you.
This is the first in a series of podcasts featuring Carlisle's operating executives. Mary, what is a Carlisle operating executive?
Well, I would say an operating executive combines a number of capabilities into one particular person that can help create value for each and every one of our businesses at Carlisle. So the work that I do ranges from due diligence support and deciding whether or not a business is one that we should buy and one that we can transform and see greater value, to someone who takes a role that I particularly enjoy, which is being a mentor and a coach to CEOs and the management team. Having been a CEO, I know it's not an easy job, and my hope is not to tell them how to do their job. My hope is to help them create value and make their jobs easier. So I enjoy being a mentor and coach to the CEO and the management team. In addition, we are board members for our portfolio companies, and very importantly, we are facilitators for deals, for introductions to customers or potential deals, as well as self-starters for initiatives that may make sense for that business.
Mary, throughout your career, you've had a series of engineering, manufacturing, finance, and leadership roles in a variety of sectors, automotive, transportation, and industrial. So currently, you're executive chairman of AxleTech. You were the CEO of AxleTech from 2002 to 2011. You were a president at Dürr Automotive. And before that, you had roles at Allied Signal, Chrysler, General Motors. So I see a trend here. So what is the common thread, or are you just simply a gearhead?
Well, I was a gearhead. I guess I still am a gearhead to some extent. But the common thread for me is I just enjoy being businesses that make something and that employ people around the world. And I have, by virtue of my experience, been able to experience a ton of troubled businesses. And by learning through those experiences, I've been able to learn how to create value at businesses that are doing okay but can do better. Common thread there is I love to create value. I love to make businesses better. And I particularly enjoy to take global manufacturing businesses and make them among the world's best and be able to create value for their employees and for their customers.
So your reputation around Carlisle is that you are a true executor. You get things done. So what is the role of execution in the value creation process?
Well, to me, the role of execution is the number one priority. I mean, I can't imagine any deal or any company or any business being successful without extraordinary execution.
So give us a sense of what that actually means, to have extraordinary execution.
First and foremost, it starts with talent on the leadership team, the talent in the organization. So you have to be able to have the right talent to make those things happen. You also have to have leadership. You have to have leadership that people are willing to follow, and leadership that can set their direction and set the priorities. So the third thing to me, in addition to talent and leadership, is being able to focus on the vital few, being able to focus on the right priorities, to be able to focus and align the organization. And then to go with that, you do have to have a process or discipline and accountability to get things done. So as you think about creating value, I think about it very simply. We're going to create value by improving our top line, and we're also going to create value by improving our bottom line. And each of those elements of the equation have its own process, whether it's a new business review or it's an operating review to make sure we're taking costs out. Each of those has a process for which we have a team, for which we have accountability, and we have a discipline or a drumbeat for that process, for whether we meet weekly, monthly, or quarterly and we hold ourselves accountable to the rest of the team. And then finally, and really importantly, to wrap it all together, to get the right kind of execution, you need to marry that up with reward and recognition and taking care of the people that are making things happen and are driving the value creation process.
So if I were to interview some of your senior direct reports and I said, give me a word to describe Mary Petrovich in terms of her management style, what would they say?
I think they would say energetic and nonstop.
You use the word focus and talking about focusing on the right priorities. How do you make sure that the immediate doesn't trump the important?
Well, it's a balancing act that has to be evaluated and managed. You know, I look at the current role I'm in as executive chairman of Axletech, a business that I ran as CEO for a decade. And while it enjoyed some great success under the first round of Carlyle's ownership and grew to $600 million in revenue and 20% EBITDA, the business today is a fraction of what it once was. So this business today is $220 million of revenue, $20 million of EBITDA or less. And as I look at this business, we have a whole host of things we can and could work on. And that's exactly what I found when I came in, that everybody had five or six things they were working on, and the leadership team wasn't united on three or four things that they want to do together. And therefore, you got a lot of people trying to do the right thing, but not focused. And when you're not focused, you're not going to get much of anything done. So it's a matter of making sure that you live to see the day tomorrow and pay the bills, but also building up infrastructure so that as you get out of that first year, you have a business that's about to flourish and grow well above and beyond a quick fix scenario.
Mary, how would you look at strategy versus execution? And can great execution overcome a mediocre strategy?
Well, one of my favorite quotes of all time that I've learned through my time at Carlyle is that execution eats strategy for lunch every day. And I think that was a quote that I heard from Lou Gerstner one time. And I couldn't agree more with that philosophy. I mean, you can have, and many, many corporations and many of the businesses that we buy at Carlyle, especially in the industrial sector, are from large corporations where strategic planning groups are entire departments of people, and they put together binders of plans that are inches thick, and then they go on the bookshelf for another year until it's time to dust them off. So there's a lot of time and energy and discussion about strategy, but far, far more important is execution. And going back to the situation I'm in right now with Axletech, there was a strategic plan for this business. However, all the strategic planning in the world isn't going to matter if you can't execute on the basics. And certainly if you can't execute on the basics, you're not going to be able to execute on a more detailed strategy. So no doubt in my mind, a good execution play beats terrible strategy every day of the week. And a great strategy is nothing without good execution.
So the key, of course, is to marry great strategy with great execution.
Absolutely. I think that's what you get when you bring together the thinking of the Carlyle team along with the operating execs that have done a lot of execution in their lives and done it very, very well. So you're bringing both the right thoughts, the right strategic direction, and then you're bringing the firepower of outstanding execution.
So, Mary, you were CEO of Axletech during Carlyle's initial ownership, and now you're executive chair during our second round of ownership. Has the company changed, or is it effectively the same company? And what impact does that have on the strategy and the execution?
I would say fundamentally they're the same companies. However, they're much different in terms of the evolution curve they're on. So when Carlyle sold the business in 2008, it was a business that had a great strategy that had executed well. And certainly there's always areas to improve upon, but at 20% EBITDA with all the competing companies around it doing a couple percent EBITDA, clearly doing a lot of things right. Now today we have a business that's as good or worse as the rest of the competition in our space. So the fundamentals of the business are the same. The markets are the same. So So we've got to get some of the fundamentals back, but some of the dynamics in terms of the headwinds that the business faces and the challenges and the directions we need to go in vary somewhat. But in essence, this business has the same things that it needs to fix, the same things it needs to do well, and we need to move in a couple other different directions. But this isn't a complete redo. And there's certainly going to be tremendous benefit from 10 years of learning that I've got from being at the helm, and we expect to move very quickly to restore the greatness this business once had.
So if you were to look at either the impediments or kind of accelerators to great execution, what might some of them be?
Well, the first impediment for any business is going to be culture. It's going to be getting over the idea that that's not my job or that's not how we've been told to do it, and breaking all those paradigms of what was embedded in their heads for the last 3 or 4 years. Culture is the number one thing, and that gets addressed by leading, by example, and putting in the right reward and recognition system, but also putting in the right leadership. So I've spent a lot of time the last 3 months bringing in a new CEO, bringing in a new CFO, bringing in new business development leaders, new operations leaders. So you set the tone up top and you put the reward systems in place, but number one impediment is going to be having the culture wrong and not having the right people in place. So you've got to get those addressed quickly. Without the right capabilities, without the right people that have the right bandwidth in terms of the breadth and the depth of their talent to address the multitude of challenges that will be in front of us, you're not going to be able to make this a great business.
If we look at execution gone well or execution gone bad, looking back at your career, can you give us an example or two where you knew that there was a problem that had to be overcome, or you knew that, boy, this is really going well?
We had a very interesting situation when Carlyle first owned this business, and everybody remembers what was going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, and some of that is still unfortunately going on. But at the time, there's a real change in the nature of war, meaning war is conducted in urban settings. War is conducted in hillsides and mountainsides where normal vehicles can't get in and out and up and down. And so by virtue of our technology at AxleTech, we were able to help create what was called the MRAP vehicle. And the MRAP vehicles are vehicles that have high speed and ability to climb tall verticals and be able to essentially support our troops in the war effort. And the challenge for us was they needed a new technology, which we offered, but they needed it in 6 months. For us, for the drivetrains that we manufacture and the design, often it takes 2 years to put these kinds of vehicles through testing and have them proven out. And on top of that, for the kind of volume that our military needed, we would have to double production in 6 months to be able to meet the need. We had a team that was ready to do it, and we had an investor called Carlyle that was willing to put $10 million down on the table and bet on us, and we put that capital in place, and we were able to execute because of the talent we had and the heart that we had and the desire we had, and we became the world's leading supplier to the U.S. military, and now enjoy that technology position in the defense space so much so that we are working today with governments in India, Saudi Arabia, Colombia, Australia, all over the world, because those seeds were planted almost a decade ago by the aggressiveness and the thoughtfulness and the leadership of Carlyle and AxleTech coming together to be able to move forward on a window of opportunity to essentially create an MRAP vehicle.
When you look at the traits that you seek in your senior leaders. You just noted that you recruited a CEO, a CFO, sales, marketing folks. What are the core attributes or the essence of what wows you with the people you ended up hiring?
Okay, there's a couple things there, Chris. First of all, people that I hire have done this several times, meaning they have face challenges, meaning that they have taken a business and transformed it from mediocrity to greatness, meaning that they have an inherent set of skills that drives an aggressiveness and a value creation path. So number one, They are immensely overqualified. I'd say that would be a number one trait, meaning they've done it and there's no risk relative to putting them in place to do it with me here at AxelTech. The second thing that's really, really important to me when I look at leaders is I want people to be boundaryless. I want people to not just think about their function, but I want them to be experts in their function, certainly understand their function, but I want them to think like general managers. I want them to understand how their function touches other functions and how what they do interrelates to what we're trying to do for the customer. So you've got all these people in the organization. We might as well throw their titles away because they're all capable of doing parts of each and every other person's job in the leadership team, and that's how we take really strong people that have had great success in other businesses. We tackle massive challenges to make this business better. To me, the key is having people that have the track record of excellence and that would demonstrate their ability to perform and the energy level to do it in a very short period of time. And then secondly, to have this boundaryless capability where they're not worried about just their chimney. They are looking at this business as a whole and willing to do whatever it takes to make it successful.
Now, on a personal note, what do you do for fun?
For fun, I have a lot of things that I do. I've got two boys that are teenagers, and we like to boat. We live on a lake, and also I love to play golf. So I'm a fairly competitive golfer, but I enjoy just getting out there on a sunny day and enjoying nature and hitting the white ball around. Those are some of the things that I enjoy to do.
And why are you so good at what you do?
Well, I
brag a little for me.
Compliment. I would say that I'm good at what I do because I am passionate. If I decide I'm going to do something, I want to be the best at it. And if I believe in something, I take it personally. And I believe in this business, and I take it personally. And I get offended when others don't take it personally. So that, I guess, would be another characteristic of the leaders that I look around to have around me, is that they take it personally, and we look at this as a family experience that, you know, we're bonded for life. When we go through this and we do this successfully, we have made a relationship and a bond that's going to last far beyond the 4, 5, 10 years that we run this company together.
Mary, thanks for sharing your thoughts on that critical role of execution in the value creation process. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Carlisle ValueCast.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlisle.com. This has been a Carlisle ValueCast podcast.